And now on UK Church Community Radio, it's Powerful Ministry from the Emmanuel Gospel Church in Pembrokeshire, Wales, with Pastor Jonathan Fiddy.
He is the name above every name and the power above every power. No wonder the dead were raised. No wonder the lepers were cleansed. We serve a wonderful, healing Jesus. As many as touched him, the Bible says, were made perfectly whole.
Reminded this morning of some time ago when we were having a Sunday morning meeting, and I just felt in the meeting the Lord told me to pray against anyone with arthritis, and so I prayed over the meeting, and there was a nurse here who'd had a lot of back pain, and as I prayed the pain disappeared and she was healed. But the thing that you would never know with the Lord, he always surprises us. The thing that I hadn't contemplated was that some months before, I'd fallen in the garden. There was a very wet rock, and I stood on this rock and just slipped, and it went out from under me, and I landed on my hip. And ever since then, I'd had pain getting every time I wanted to get out of a low chair or get out of the car. I'd had pain in my hip. And it wasn't until we got back home after the meeting and I got up out of the chair, I realized that the pain had gone. And I hadn't thought it might be arthritis, so I hadn't even thought of it. But it's amazing. God often surprises us with the blessings that he gives us. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. We're this morning in Ephesians chapter 2 again. And I'd like us to think this morning, we've been looking at who we are in Christ, the wonderful things that have happened to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it tells us that even though we were dead in our trespasses, he has made, in verse 5, us alive together with Christ. And in verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? The word in the Greek, I don't know if I'll pronounce it right, but is epuranios. And it means the spiritual realms, the heavenly places, the realm of the spirit. We are sat in the spiritual realm. Now, there is a very spiritual world around us. We are physical. What we see with our eyes is physical. Our bodies are physical. But there is a very real spiritual world. Paul reminds people, and he said, the things that you see are temporary, but the things that you don't see are eternal. So the things that we don't see are much more real than the things that we do see. They are eternal. The physical things are only temporary. And in Colossians chapter 3, we're told, if you are then raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, the spiritual realm, we are part of it, but we are told in Ephesians 1 that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. There is no safer place to be than to be seated with Christ. And it says, as we've just read, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. What a wonderful, wonderful place to be. There are many things that come against us in life, but if we love God and if we serve him, there is no safer place to be than in him. We may not appropriate every blessing that God has given us, and he promises us so many blessings in life. We may not appropriate every one of them, but if we are in Christ, we're in victory ultimately. And when we look back in eternity, it will be amazing that God has protected us and loved us, and we are hidden with God in Christ. What a wonderful truth. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Psalm 91 speaks of this secret place. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It's a good psalm to pray over our families, over our life. It says in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Well, we are seated in heavenly places. That's a secret place. We are hidden with Christ in God. That's a secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. This is what we say, isn't it, when the trials of life come. This is what we say when opposition comes. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He will be my refuge and my strength. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This is the secret place. It is a place of safety. And we are eternally safe in Christ because we love him. We are found in him. And spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, in Christ. Ephesians, when you look through it, has that term again and again and again. We're in Christ. We're in him. We are now relationally connected with Christ. We are part of his wonderful family. There is victory in Christ. God wants us to abide in him. Abide in the vine, he says, and you will bear much fruit. He wants us to live in him. He wants us to agree with him. That's talking about our confession. It's agreeing with God in the things that we speak. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to be in Christ. These are great things. On the cross, when Christ died for us, thank God he took all of our sin and he overcame every single enemy. Without the cross, there'd be no book of Ephesians. Without the cross, we wouldn't be here this morning. But because of the cross of Jesus, he went down into death itself and he rose again to declare the victory was won on the cross. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Everything was done, the full work of redemption. We were reading in Romans 8 this week, and we saw that God's full plan of redemption is not just that we get saved, but that the whole world comes back the way that God wanted it to be, that even creation has been affected by the fall. But one day it's coming back. The victory's already been won, but it's going to. But Jesus is reigning until every enemy is put under his feet. It'd be wonderful if there were no enemies out there. The victory has been won, but it's got to be enforced. And in time, it will be fully enforced until Jesus reigns over the nations of the world. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. He died. He went into death. He rose again. He overcame sin's power and Satan's power. And he overcame every enemy, even death. What a wonderful Savior we serve. In Philippians 2 and verse 9. It says of Jesus, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, unto the glory of God the Father." God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise God for the name of Jesus. It's been given unto us. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go out into all the world." And he said, "Go out in my name, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you drink any deadly poison, it shall not harm you." But he gave the authority of his name. Go out with his signet ring, with his signature, with his name. The name means everything. I heard once of a young man who was the son of a very well-respected minister. And he went to the bank. These were in the days, some of you will remember, when you used to be able to go and see the bank manager. And if you wanted a loan, he would have a chat to you and he'd weigh you up and down and have a look at your accounts. And he'd say, "Yes, I think you're worth the risk. I'll give you a loan." It's just not like that now, is it? And if you knew you had a good relationship with the bank manager, things went well. Well, this young man went to the bank and they looked at him and he said, "No," he said, "I'm sorry." He said, I don't feel that we can lend you any money at this time." And as he was going out, he said, "Oh, okay then." He said, "But my father sends his greetings." So he said, "Well, who's your father?" And once he told him who his father was, "Oh, well," he said, "you should have said. This is a different matter." He knew his father was such a reliable and respectful man that he would have no problems if he lent him the money. Thank God that we have the name of Jesus, that we are part of his family, and it stands for a lot. And when we speak in the spiritual realm, the devil's not afraid of you and me, but if we're in Christ, it is a different matter. We have authority in Jesus because of Christ. Thank God for the power that's in the name of Jesus. We need to remember who we are in him. Praise his wonderful name. Jesus is the name above every name. In him we speak, in him we have authority. Moses had a rod, you know, and God gave it to him and he said, listen, this is to speak of the authority that I've given you. And we know the story that when he came to the Red Sea, all of the enemies were against him. There seemed no other hope, but he raised up that rod and the waters of the Red Sea were parted and they went through on dry land and then they closed up and the enemies were defeated. It spoke of the cross. It spoke of that victory. But this is what God has given us in the name of Jesus. It is the rod of his authority. When we speak that name with full faith and understanding in our heart from a place of relationship with God, there is power in the name of Jesus. God wants us to use the name of Jesus. And we remember the story that when he came before Pharaoh and God called him and he said, you go with my authority. And all the magicians of Egypt came. I was reading the story of, have a look at it on the notice board at the back of John Meller and his wife. She was a New Age, into New Age healing, but thank God she got saved and delivered, and now she warns about the dangers of it. And he went to minister to the Aborigines, but the Aborigines used the witch doctors. And the problem was, he said, as a young Christian, that the Aborigines knew that the witch doctors had power, and that when they went to them, things really did happen. And so when he came and there were no miracles, he was totally ineffective with the gospel. And so he decided that for 5 months he was going to pray and fast for 10 days a month. And halfway through this prayer and fasting, there was an outbreak of miracles and he reached the Aborigines. The power of God began to demonstrate. We need to know who we are in Christ and we need to recognize there is authority in the name of Jesus. When these magicians of Egypt came, they could do all sorts of things. They could turn water into blood. They could cause these issues to come. And what happened was that Moses came and threw down his rod and it became a serpent. Then the magicians of Egypt came. They all had rods which spoke of their spiritual authority. They cast them down. Their rods became a serpent. But the rod of Moses swallowed up every other serpent. Thank God we're in a world where there are many supernatural things, but the power in the name of Jesus is greater than every other supernatural, and it can swallow up the supernatural of the devil and overcome it. Praise God we are in the name of Jesus. Thank God we're in Purim, the time of Esther. And when Esther went in before the king, you know, it was a capital offense if the king did not hold out that golden scepter. If he didn't hold it out, then there was death, was the result. And when Esther went in, she went in fear and trembling, but the king held out the golden scepter, and it speaks of Jesus.
Please join us for part two of this program, coming up in a few minutes.
Appears, then we will appear. your peace rule in my heart today. With thanksgiving and long-suffering, bearing with all things in love, putting on the Your word dwell richly in my heart, teaching others in all heavenly songs, singing with all thankfulness, doing all in your name. And when Christ
When Esther went in before the king, you know, it was a capital offense if the king did not hold out that golden scepter. If he didn't hold it out, then there was death, was the result. And when Esther went in, she went in fear and trembling, but the king held out the golden scepter, and it speaks of Jesus. Jesus is the golden scepter. When the high priest, if he went in uncovered into the presence of God, he would have lost his life. If we went in before a holy God, uncovered by the blood of Jesus, we would die in his presence. But thank God that Jesus is the golden scepter, and his name is the name that connects us with God the Father and brings cleansing from sin and deliverance from all the powers of darkness. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the name of Jesus. We have been called. The victory has legally been won, but it has yet to be enforced. I'm going through this at the moment. I had a court case. We have a tenant that hadn't paid the rent for many months, and eventually we took it to court, and the judge ruled in our favor. This tenant has to leave. I've won the case. Legally, that property is now mine. But I've got to enforce that, and this Monday I've got to ring the bailiffs and pay them, and they've got to go in, and we've got to take that property back. This is how it is with God. Legally, the victory is won. The whole earth belongs to the Lord. The devil has been completely defeated. But only in time is that victory going to be fully enforced. And part of our job as believers is going in the name of Jesus, using that name and enforcing the victory and seeing the kingdom of God grow. And thank God, the kingdom of God is growing. It's growing. The greatest part's already in heaven, safe with Jesus. The Bible says we are part of myriads of angels when we worship God, and of the church of the firstborn registered in heaven. Thank God the church is growing, and all across the earth the church is growing. We are the poor in Western Europe and in America, where the least is happening. But in Africa, in China, even in the persecuted countries, there are great moves where many are coming to Christ. And it said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Thank God It is growing today, but there is going to come a day when the glory of the Lord is going to cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, when God will eternally separate good and evil forever, and Jesus himself will reign over the nations. Thank God that day is coming. He is reigning. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says in verse 24, then will come the end when he will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. He will put an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Thank God. I don't like death. I don't know about you. I think it's something we were not created for. But Jesus overcame it on the cross. And one day the full enforcement of that victory will come to pass, and we will live eternally in his presence. The battle has already been won. Thank God we don't have to fight in the battle, but we stand in the victory. Having done all, we stand. Hallelujah. There is a day coming when Satan will come to his account, and when things are tough and when problems are going on, it's never a bad thing to look at the end of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 10, 20 and verse 10, we are reminded of his end. For it says that fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with the beast and the false prophet. And they will be tormented day and night forever. Thank God he is overcome by the power of God. And ultimately his end is already determined. We have victory in Christ. Thank God for a growing kingdom. Thank God that we are part of heaven. Hallelujah this morning. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are joined to him in his victory. We read this week, I think it's one of the most powerful passages of the New Testament. But Paul's words in Romans 8 and verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. How wonderful. God is for us this morning. Doesn't matter what somebody says against us. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what opposition, and men of God throughout history have been attacked. I was thinking this morning of the fact, it's bizarre, isn't it, that in New Zealand, they had this atrocious attack where many Muslims were killed, and it's atrocious. It's wrong. We are completely against it. But you have to look at the media and say, why is it that an attack on Muslims in New Zealand is all over the news, and yet 100 Christians killed in Nigeria? Persecution in Pakistan, in China, they're blowing up churches. The church that holds 5,000, the Church of the Golden Lampstand, a Christian church. The government came in, evacuated it, put bombs underneath it and blew it up. These things are going on across the world. Why are they not on the news? Jesus said, you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And it's true that across the world there is a rising persecution against Christians. Why would it not be on the news? Why would it be that it was suggested in New Zealand that the big danger that they face in the light of this attack is the far right? And they're implying it's Christians and fundamentalists. How many Christians are there blowing up people? How many Christians are carrying out terrorist attacks and shooting people indiscriminately? It isn't happening. And yet, even in this country, the government are saying that it is the fundamentalist and the Christians that believe the Bible as God's word that are the danger to our society. It is a spiritual problem that we're facing, a spiritual battle. Satan is the small g of this world, and we see the evidence of it. We see it particularly against the Jews and against the Christians. It's incredible. The persecution that have been against the Jews throughout history. Why? They're God's chosen people. God knew, the devil knows, that if the world sees God's word being fulfilled, they will see that he's faithful. Isn't it incredible? 150 years ago, not even many churches believed that Israel would ever come back to the land. They spiritualized it. They said when God was talking about them coming back to the land, it was talking about the church. But there were faithful Bible teachers, Grattan Guinness in Ireland, the brother of the Guinness family that brought about the drink. He was a great preacher. He filled town halls, and many, many important people came to hear him. And he said, Israel is going to come back to the land again. And he gave the exact date when the edict would be given. And we've seen it come to pass. Isn't it amazing that Israel, that was a barren land, God said that the desert would blossom as a rose. It was a barren wilderness, and yet today it is a major exporter of roses across the world. The desert would blossom as a rose. Isn't it amazing that Hebrew is the language again spoken? It was seeming to be dead, but God said the day will come when it will be spoken again. It is amazing that God's word is fulfilled. They are back in the land. They are assigned to the nations, but they've been hated throughout history. They were blamed in Spain for poisoning the wells and were persecuted. And they've been irresponsibly blamed for many things over the centuries. We know, of course, of the Holocaust and the atrocities that have happened. And even though those things have happened, we're seeing this anti-Semitism rising again. Why is it? It's illogical, but it's spiritual. It's because people that do not know Christ as the savior of their life have a spirit that is ruling and running their life that puts this within them. That's why we're seeing it rise. Jesus warned it would happen. But thank God that ultimately there is no victory for the devil. Ultimately, Jesus is going to come back. He is allowing things to get to a certain point. We're living in days when evil is growing worse and worse. God is allowing that. It's part of his plan. And when it gets to the worst point, when all the nations of the world are going to be gathered together against Jerusalem, they will be like a sea of people. Jesus is going to come back and there is going to be a great victory. Thank God he wins. Thank God we are in victory. And Jesus warned us, we're strangers, we are pilgrims in this world, we're in the world, but not of it. He said, in this world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the midst of all that goes on, he gives us victory in life. He gives us hope. He gives us joy in the Holy Spirit. He gives us faith to bring us through our difficulties. This is the God that we serve. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, all day long we are killed and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, not despite them, not without them, but in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul, with all the difficulties he's been through, he says, I am persuaded that not death or life or angels or principalities or powers or things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. He won the victory and gave it to us. That's why we are more. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And we are living in the victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. And I want to make opportunity, if anyone wants prayer this morning, for something in their life, physical, mental, whatever it is, do come and have prayer. Father, we thank you that you are here this morning. And when we come in prayer, Father, when we pray for those in need, Lord, we're not looking to a man or a person, but we're looking to you, Lord, the mighty God. And we thank you, Lord, that all of your resources are available this morning. We thank you that on the cross you paid the price to redeem us. Lord, we don't know the fullness of that redemption yet, but Lord, we touch that redemption when we touch the cross. We thank you when we touch the cross, there is healing. We thank you that when we touch the cross, Lord, there is deliverance, Father. And Lord, we want to touch you this morning. We want to touch the hem of your garment. And we want to receive the life that is in you flowing through us, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. We thank you, Lord, it only takes a touch. Only a touch from you can change everything, Father. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and acknowledge your great power. Would you come amongst us, Lord, as we reach out in faith? And would you touch us this morning, Father? Bring healing to our bodies, Father. Bring peace to our mind. Bring faith into our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.